Like I said, we're in the book of Genesis. You never know what you'll have at Crawford Baptist Church. Sorry about that. That one's supposed to be charged and ready to go. All right. Let's see. Where was I? We were talking about Abraham. Abraham. Let's start with Abraham. Abraham received a covenant from the Lord, and he was through Abraham that he would be blessed and all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. But Abraham had a problem. I think that's where we were. Abraham had a problem, and Abraham's problem was that his wife was unable to have children, and he's supposed to be the father of a multitude. The promised seed, promised in Genesis 3:15, was to come through Abraham. And so there was a problem. But God had made his promise to Abraham and Sarah. They both laughed when God gave them this promise. But God said within 1 year period of time, your wife Sarah, who's 90 years old, will bear a son. And so Abraham and Sarah are waiting for God to fulfill his word. And in that interim, we come to Genesis chapter 20. And Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed because of their unrighteous and sinful behavior. And so shortly after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pulled up stakes from where he had been, and he began wandering. He traveled south into the Negev, and then he kind of settled for a time between Kadesh and Shur. And then after another period of time, he went to a town in the area of the Philistines called Gerar. We're going to see that in Genesis chapter 20 in just a moment. But here's the thing. Abraham, who's the poster child for the doctrine of justification by faith, Abraham, who is the man of faith, Galatians chapter 3, verse 9 says. Abraham, who is called the friend of God in James 2:23. Abraham stumbled in his faith. Abraham made a foolish decision. A sinful decision while he was in the town of Gerar. This man, who was known for his faith, faltered in his faith. And this chapter teaches me about myself. Genesis chapter 20 actually encourages me because I struggle at times to trust the promises of God, just like Abraham at times struggled to trust the promises of God. In fact, there are many times when you and I will struggle. Amen? I'm not the only one that struggles to trust the promises of God which he has made to you and me. In those moments of ongoing sickness or we pray for an answer to our prayer, and it doesn't come when we think it ought to come, or it doesn't come in the way that we believe it ought to come, we begin to struggle, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to question God. And oftentimes during those times of waiting on God to answer that prayer, we begin to doubt, and we begin to waver, as James 1 talks about. We begin to waver like a wave tossed in the ocean. And oftentimes we make some foolish decisions during that period of time. Oftentimes we make some sinful decisions during that time. We need to remember that the only way that you and I will ever live above sin in a Genesis 3 world is to live over a pool hall. That's the only way. You and I, like Abraham and Sarah and every other human being except one, we struggle with sin, we struggle to believe, we struggle with having faith in God. And I believe Genesis chapter 20 has much to teach us about our faith and about our God. Look in Genesis chapter 20 now as we resume our study. in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now Abimelech had not approached her. So he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, 'She's my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. And then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, What did you see that you did this thing?" Abraham said, "I did it because I thought, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, 'This is the kindness you must do to me. In every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother.' Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, 'Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' To Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated.' Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Let's pray one more time, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, and we're grateful that we can come and worship. The way has been made for us to have access before your throne because of the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, O God, that he is the only way that anyone can have access to you and to be found pleasing in your sight. And so, Father, this morning I pray for grace and strength to preach your word. I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts that will receive your truth. I pray that you would give us hearts that will believe your truth. I pray, God, that you would transform us during this time of study in your word. I pray, Father, that you will open blind eyes. I pray you will touch cold, rock-hard hearts. I pray, God, that you would grant regeneration, spiritual life to men and women and young people in this room. Father, this moment is significant. These scriptures are breathed out by you for our benefit. So, Lord, teach us today from your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Well, this morning, if you can hear me now better, say amen. Amen. All right. I'm sorry about that. I have 2 points this morning, and they're very significant. The first one describes you and me, and the second one describes our awesome God. The title of my message is God is Faithful. Amen? And He is. And I find that we typically are not as faithful as we ought to be. Point number one this morning is simply this: we struggle to trust God. We struggle to trust God. That's in chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And so here's the deal. Generally, Abraham trusted God. I mean, he had believed the divine promise given to him back in Genesis chapter 15. And when he believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. That's what Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says. And so Abraham had been declared righteous by God. His sins had been forgiven. He'd been adopted into God's family by faith. Abraham is the father of the faith, if you will. So Genesis 15, 6 is true in his life. But even as a believer, sometimes when push came to shove, Abraham decided to give God a little help by telling a little lie. And Abraham can be summarized this way: Lord, I trust you, but I want to make sure that things work out just right. And for that to happen, in my mind, I need to help you out just a little bit. And what happens in Gerar? It's a city within the Philistine kingdom. Abraham told Sarah, I want you to lie about your true identity. Now, it is true that they are half brother, half sister. That is true. It's explained in Genesis chapter 20. But they did come into covenant and in marriage, and so they are husband and wife. And Abraham, because he is fearful of man, fearful in his flesh, he is asking her to tell this little white lie, this half-truth, if you will, to make sure that this king won't just take you. If he knows that I'm your husband, he may just kill me and take you into his harem, and that's the end of me. So Abraham was thinking all about himself, and he asked his wife to lie about who she really was, and he also, of course, lied about her as well. He was deceiving Abimelech. Now, Abimelech was the king of the Philistine area, the king of the city of Gerar, and what happens here is, just like he had done in Genesis 12, Abraham once again is telling Sarah to lie. He had done that to Pharaoh back in Genesis chapter 12. Now he's doing it again here in Genesis chapter 20 to the king of Gerar. Now, here's what I want you to see before we move to the main point for today. Because you and I, we know we struggle. We struggle in marriage, we struggle in parenting, we struggle with work, we struggle with our own feelings of guilt and anxiety and fear. We struggle with finances, we struggle with health, we struggle with the loss of loved ones. I mean, we are a struggling people. We are weak. We are fallible. We have life, which one day on this planet is going to end, whether we believe that this morning and accept it or not. Our days on this earth are numbered, and so we struggle. But here's something we see in Genesis chapter 20. We learn that Abraham's standing with God was based on the grace of God and not on the goodness of Abraham. You know, we tend to think of the Bible characters and think, man, they were some awesome guys, man. If I had faith like Moses, if I had faith like Abraham, if I had faith like David, if I had faith like, and you fill in the blank. Well, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. Abraham, on several occasions, lied, doubted God. David, the man after God's own heart, actually committed sexual sin with someone else's wife, had that husband murdered in cold blood. I don't want my son to grow up to be exactly like David or Moses or Abraham. I desire my son to grow up to be like Jesus. He's the perfect one. You see, no one else in all the book was sinless and perfect but Jesus. And again, in this chapter, that's a huge theological point, is that Abraham's standing with God was based on the grace of God and not on the goodness of Abraham. You see, he had been declared righteous, but he was not yet sinlessly perfect. Abraham was not. And here's the thing this morning, neither am I. And neither are you. And it's good for all of us to remember this truth, that we are saved by grace and we are kept by grace. And listen, if you are struggling this morning, I want you to hear me, please. It is a normal thing for Christians to struggle. Read Romans chapter 7. And you will see Paul struggling with his own sin. And we ought to be struggling with the sin that we see in our lives. And we ought to be struggling with those moments when we doubt God and we distrust God and we think like Abraham, I've got to offer my little bit or it may not turn out right. I mean, God, I'm trusting you, but man, my fingers are crossed and I'm going to do what I've got to do on my end. Beloved, we struggle to trust God, but I want you to see the key theme of Genesis chapter 20. And it is this: our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. And as you look in Genesis 20, you may think, well, you know, what is the key theme? I mean, isn't the key theme this: if you first fail, then try and try again? Or is the key theme of Genesis 20 that unbelievers sometimes behave better than believers? Or is the key theme in Genesis 20 the fact that Abraham and Sarah were able to still make their marriage work even though they were going through a rough patch? I mean, when you have to say, hey, look, I know we're married, but I want you to tell the guy that you're my sister. I describe that as a rough patch. You're going through some rough times, right? So what is the key theme? If you were teaching or preaching Genesis 20, what would you think is the key theme of the book? You see, one task that we have as preachers of the Bible is we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the big theme in Genesis chapter 20? And I would suggest to you, it is none of those things I just mentioned. It is not that if you fail at first, then try and try again. As Abraham, you know, he lied before and he failed and he didn't trust God, so he lied. And then God forgave him and he moved on. And so now he's trying again. He's trying to get it right. That's not the big theme of Genesis chapter 20. The big theme of Genesis 20 is beautiful. And you and I need this theme today. This chapter, chapter 20, focuses on how the Lord preserved Abraham despite his mistakes and weaknesses, so that God's promises to him might be fulfilled. God was faithful to Abraham even when Abraham was not faithful to God. And in verses 3 through 16, we kind of see that. Look at verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her. So he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she's my sister? And she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you've done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. So that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours, you will surely die. I want you to see 4 points that I'm drawing out of these verses right here. All right. Under God is faithful. Okay. And here's a beautiful statement. Here's a beautiful statement. Even when we make foolish, sinful decisions, God is still faithful to you and me. Even when we make foolish decisions, God is still faithful to you and me. I want you to see number one. This is in verses 3-7 that we just read. The Lord showed mercy to both Abraham and Abimelech by taking action against Abimelech. He did. The Lord was merciful to both Abraham and Abimelech because the Lord intervened. He didn't sit back and let things play out just the way they might have played out. God took action. He stepped up to the plate. He got involved. He intervened in their life. And in this very real dream to the king of Gerar, he says, hey, man, you have taken into your harem a woman who is married to one of my prophets. And this is a great sin. And I have prevented you thus far from taking her and having pleasure with her. And so I have protected you. But now to make sure that you stay right, you need to return this man's wife to him. Give Sarah back to Abraham. The Lord showed mercy to both of these men by taking action against Abimelech. You know, the Lord shows you and me mercy by intervening in our lives at times. It may be through a sermon. It could be through a song. It could be through a friend who just calls, checking up on you like, well, you know, I hadn't seen you in community group lately. I hadn't noticed you at church lately. Or maybe it could be more personal and pointed than that. But you see, the Lord still intervenes in our lives through people around us to keep us from going further and deeper into sin. So that's number one. The Lord showed mercy. And you and I need to receive that as an act of mercy from God. When someone comes to you in love and challenges something about your life, your lifestyle, your commitment to the Lord, or maybe it's your lack of commitment to the Lord, it's not that the person comes in an angry, devaluing way of you. The Lord is being merciful to you because he knows that that course of action you are following will only lead you into deeper hurt and heartache as you grow further from God. And so, number one, the Lord intervened, and in doing that, he was showing mercy. Notice number two. I want you to not miss this. Number two, we find it in verse 7, but let me give you my point. It'll be on the screen. The Lord affirmed Abraham's position before him to Abimelech during the dream, despite Abraham's sinful behavior. Now notice that point. The Lord affirmed Abraham's position before him to Abimelech during the dream, despite Abraham's sinful behavior. You see, the question is this: was Abraham acting like a man who really trusted God in Genesis 20 by telling his wife to lie and by him himself lying? I mean, do we act like faithful followers of Christ if we go around lying, fudging on the report, adding extra miles on the mileage sheet, you know, saying we worked 8 hours when we didn't really work 8 hours. Do we act as a true follower of Christ when we are living in a sinful way? And I would say, no, we're not. And so was Abraham acting like a man who truly trusted the Lord? No. Yet Abraham belonged to the Lord. Amen. And the Lord was going to vindicate Abraham and his own name by showing his saving power at work in Abraham. God is at work. Look at verse 7. It's beautiful. Now then, the Lord said to Abimelech, now then, return the man's wife. Give Sarah back to Abraham. That's what he's saying. Notice this. For he is a prophet. You see that? He is a prophet. Abraham in this very moment of time is sinning against God. But he is still considered by God to be his prophet. He has not forfeited his position with God. You see, his position before God is given by the grace of God and not by the goodness of Abraham. And so we see that truth repeated here again. See, Abimelech is learning that Abraham's standing with God was not based on Abraham's performance, but rather upon the Lord's gracious declaration of righteousness upon Abraham. Now, here's the way we've said this before at Crawford Baptist Church. God's pleasure in you is not based on your performance for him. It's not. God's pleasure in you and me is not based on how we live and how we do. God's pleasure in you is based on Christ's performance for you. Jesus Christ went to the cross. We sang about that this morning. Jesus Christ, the perfect, righteous, sinless one, willingly, joyfully, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He despised it and the shame and all these things, the reproach of being on the cross, the suffering of the cross. He endured all of that so we could be saved. We have been forgiven by the God who created everything that is, and he created you. You know, who created you? God did. What else did God create? The Catechism says. Everything. Why did God create you and everything else? For his own glory. And beloved, we need to see this truth that God's pleasure, and many of us don't get that anyway. And honestly, I think we all struggle with it because of how we are. We don't always find pleasure in our own husband or wife. You've had a little squabble, a little spat. And so we just kind of associate how we are with our Heavenly Father. But that's not how the Heavenly Father is. He's perfect. He's unchanging. You know, he doesn't shift and change, James says, right? He's immutable. That is, his character is perfect and never wavers, changes. His character never increases or decreases. He is fully, truly, perfectly God at all times. That's who he is. But you see, we struggle to understand that God's pleasure in us is not based on our performance for him, but God's pleasure in us is based on what Christ has done for us. That is a huge theological understanding that we need to grasp. The Lord affirmed Abraham's position before him. He did that in the dream to Abimelech, despite Abraham's sinful behavior. Now, that's good news for you this morning because of this. If you have sinned against God yesterday or this morning or right now, and you have truly been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, you are still loved and you are still accepted in the Beloved. We're not saved 1 minute and then lost the next, and then resaved again, and then lost again. Salvation is not that. That's going to lead to craziness, right? I mean, we would go insane. Insanity would result. I mean, we studied Captain Noah and the good ship Grace back when we came through the book of Genesis. But remember that truth. God did not tell Noah and Mrs. Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right, and their wives to hang on the outside of the boat. He called them into the boat, and then the Lord shut the door, sealing them in the boat. And although they probably fell down numerous times during the storm while they were in the ark, they never fell out of it. And that's a picture of our salvation. We are secure in Christ. And we need to hear that today, because many, perhaps in this room, you struggle with assurance of your salvation. And when God saves you, he who begins the good work in you will continue that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, if you have been regenerated, regeneration will always lead to glorification. Always, every time. And so if you are struggling today, then you're thinking, thank you, Pastor Jay. Now I don't have to worry about my sin. Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what God is saying. But here's the deal. If you have truly been regenerated, you will come to hate your sin. You will come to despise your sin. You will come to loathe your sin. You will come to the point where, by the Spirit's work of grace in you, you will fall on your face and say, oh God, forgive me for my adultery. Forgive me for my lust. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my anger. Forgive me for my inattention. Forgive me for my wrong priorities. Forgive me for emphasizing this over you. Oh God, take away my idols, destroy my idols, purify my heart, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That will be the cry of the truly regenerate heart. Regeneration leads to repentance, apart from which there is no salvation. And so we are secure in Christ. And Abraham's got some sin to deal with. We're going to see that in a moment. But here's the thing. His standing before God was secure. He's still the prophet. And God says to Abimelech in the dream, hey, you better get him to pray for you, because if he doesn't pray for you as my intercessor for you, you and your family are going to die. That's it. And so the Lord affirmed Abraham's position before him to Abimelech during the dream, despite Abraham's sinful behavior. And that is good news, because I fail every day. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 3, the Lord worked. The Lord worked despite Abraham's foolish choices, unbelief, fear, and the predicament he'd gotten himself into. Oftentimes, you and I are paralyzed by fear because we see how poorly we're behaving. And we also understand how foolish some of our decisions have been. That's called enlightenment. God enables us to see the foolishness of our ways at times in our lives. And so, but oftentimes we are paralyzed by the fear of what we see in our behavior and in our decisions. But listen, the Lord is faithful to you and me even in that time. Look at number 4. The Lord used an unbeliever's rebuke to expose a believer's sin. You know, if you didn't know anything about Abraham and you read Genesis chapter 20, you would think that Abimelech was the righteous man and Abraham was the unrighteous man, if you didn't know any of the other story in context. But what we know, because we've been studying through the book of Genesis in context, we know that Abimelech is the pagan king. He's the Philistine. He doesn't really know the true God. Abraham knows the true God. Abraham has been walking with the true God, trusting the true God, not perfectly, struggling with that throughout his life as he is in this chapter. But here we see the Lord use an unbeliever's rebuke to expose a believer's sin. Look in verse 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning. I mean, he probably didn't go back to sleep after that dream. I'm thinking he's waiting for the sun to come up. As soon as the sun came up, he called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. I don't think we're that way today in church. I don't think as a nation we're very fearful of God today. I don't think in our homes we're very fearful of the Lord today. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. May God give us a healthy, biblical fear of our God today. He's not the man upstairs. And Jesus is not your homeboy. We think of God in terms that have lowered him from the status of who he really is. These pagan people were very much afraid, verse 8. Then Abimelech, verse 9, called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you've brought on me and my kingdom a great sin?" Notice that he calls that a great sin. We think very little about adultery today, do we not? I mean, we watch that on soap operas all through the day, right? I mean, one person moving in on another person's wife or husband, and we just have little thought of that. That we have been so inundated by our media that we esteem these sins very lightly. In fact, most people today in America don't even think about it. They don't think about having sex with someone they're not married to as a sin. They don't think about using profanity as being in some way disrespectful of God and sinful. I mean, I enjoyed the ball game yesterday. I wish I could say that it was like Moses, that I had had the glory of God with me. It's why my face is shining this morning, but it's because of sitting out, you know, in the sunny side of the stadium. And there was a man. Oh, there was a man. Isn't there always one man? Misery loves company. I heard that 55 times at least. And a lot of other things out of that man's mouth that should not have been said in front of children and even adults. But you see, we live in a culture where we do not take the fear of the Lord seriously. And in this passage, man, these Philistines were fearful of God. So he goes on in verse 10. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you see that you did this thing?" And Abraham said, "I did it because I thought there's no fear of God at all in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, I mean, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her," this is kind of our pact we have, "this is the kindness you must do to me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he's my brother." So they'd made this agreement to lie about their true relationship into each little new kingdom that they went to help save Abraham's hide, or so he thought. Verse 14, then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, "Behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." So Abraham, you go wherever you want in my kingdom. It's all, wherever you want to go is yours. And to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you and before everyone. You are vindicated." In other words, I didn't touch you while you were with me. I didn't do that. And so we see here the Lord used an unbeliever's rebuke to expose Abraham's sin. You and I, we want to create a culture of loving confrontation. We need to know one another well enough to know what we're struggling with, what we're going through, so that I can speak the truth to you in love. Please hear me. It's always speaking the truth in love. It's always an action that must be fulfilled through the indwelling of Christ in you and me. I'm going to tell you, my vision and my heart for this church is that we will not just be an average Southern Baptist church where we come, we gather, we sing, we pray, we endure the sermon, and we go home and we live life like we've always lived it before. Listen, that's not worshiping God. When you encounter God and God encounters you, you change. You are transformed. You do not meet Jesus and stay the same. I don't and you don't. And that's not just when you get saved. That's on an ongoing basis. We are transferred from one degree of glory to another in Christ as we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus, as we read the Bible, as we memorize our scripture, as we engage in our community groups with each other in Bible discussions, and we sharpen as iron sharpens iron. We sharpen one another in Christ and in the Lord as we follow the Lord together. All of these things work together to make us who we need to be. We need that culture of loving engagement, even confrontation at times, because again, it's to be done in love to spur us on to be more like Christ. So as I conclude, let me say this. God is faithful. I want you to say that with me on three. Can you do that? One, two, three. God is faithful. Let's say it again. One, two, three. God is faithful. He is faithful. Listen, preservation, restoration, amen, and usefulness to the kingdom all come by God's grace. But here's our default position. Abraham blew it. I mean, he lied in Genesis 12. He's lying in Genesis chapter 20. Abraham blew it. That's it. There should be no more chance for fellowship with God and usefulness for the kingdom. Well, check out chapter 20, verse 17, real quick. Chapter 20, verse 17. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You see, listen to me now. Listen carefully as we conclude. Our default position toward other people is not the gospel. We look at Abraham. He blew it before. He's blown it again. You know, he's got two, three strikes at least. He's out. That should be it. End of the story. End of the ministry. End of his usefulness for God. But that's not the gospel. Abraham's relationship with God was still intact because it is God who preserves us. It is God who keeps us. It is God who is faithful. Amen? And so we see we have the eternal security of the believer. This is not a Baptist teaching, by the way. It is a Bible teaching. It is a Bible teaching. In fact, our scripture next week is going to be this. John chapter 10 and verse 28. John chapter 10 and verse 28, which says this. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's our memory verse next week. We got a great one for this week too. But our memory verse for next week will be John chapter 10, verse 28. You see, Abraham's position was secure with God. Your position is secure with God today. If you are in Christ, you are secure. The great message of Genesis 20 is that God's pleasure in you, and he delights in you. And I know you struggle to accept that. I know you do because I do. But God's pleasure in you and me, it's not based on what we do. It's based on what Christ has done for you and me in his life and on the cross. And we are secure in the love of God. We have been adopted by loving, precious Heavenly Father. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. He is there as we drift from time into eternity. When our loved ones, and we have had like, what, 4 funerals in going on 3 weeks here in this church. We had another sweet member pass away early Saturday, Mrs. Dottie Sasser. Her funeral will be Wednesday at noon, I believe, at Valhalla. I'm going to tell you, our God has been faithful to Mrs. Evelyn New, to Brother Benny Newberry. We had the dad of one of our members, Miss Lisa Usry, who passed away. We had that funeral this week. To everyone who is in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please, from Genesis 20, maybe you've read it 100 times as you've done your read through the Bible plan till you hit Leviticus and then you quit. But you got through Genesis 20. But listen, maybe you've never thought about Genesis 20 and the truth. God is faithful. Oh, and next week we're going to see how he is gracious. And he sends the son of promise named Isaac. That's where we'll be next Sunday morning. Would you bow with me in prayer?